I was just kind of reflecting this week about what a really, really strange year, strange last week it's been, building up to Christmas. Everything's been really different. In a lot of ways, we're always going to remember this year. We're always going to remember this Christmas. There's, you know, it's strange to be apart for Christmas Eve service. But you know, in light of everything that's been happening, it makes sense. With COVID, we've gone through a lot, extra layer of stress and worry and fear and exhaustion for us. Everything with the election, again, there's been kind of extra level of stress and fear and concern and weariness. And I think through all of these things that have been happening in our world, in our country, you know, in our area, we've begun to realize that we're much more fragile than we realize. We're also much more polarized as a nation. And as I was kind of going through this week, I kept thinking, like, we need something to help us, you know, because life seems so chaotic now. Even though we're just stuck at home all the time, life does seem very, very chaotic. We don't know what's going to happen day to day and a moment to moment. We need something to help us. Something that will smooth the way, something that will give us a measure of comfort and peace. And that's exactly what Advent is about. You know, Advent means arrival. And during the Advent season, we remember this waiting and expectation that the people of Israel experienced as they were waiting for this promised Savior, this promised Messiah. But it's also the actual arrival. It's celebrating, you know, that the Jesus, the Messiah, has come. And for the Israelites, I mean, they waited a long time. For us, we know exactly what that is. You know, we know that Jesus was born in the manger, that he was visited by the shepherds and then the wise men, and we know what his life means. We know that he grew up and began to teach and ultimately gave his life for sinners like us. And so, you know, as we go through today, we want to remember that. We want to remember about how Mary gives birth to Jesus, and what an incredible celebration that is. You know, as Joel was mentioning, there's something about about Christmas that, you know, it's a great thing to be able to remember that at one point it was the first time that Jesus was born, the first time. The shepherds went to go visit and see this child, this Messiah, the Savior. So in the passage that we're looking at today, we're going to take a look at the story that Justin read, which was the birth of Christ and then the first visitation. You know, the angels going then to the shepherds, and the shepherds going to visit Jesus, the newborn baby. As we go through it, there's two things that I wanted to kind of address. And hopefully, all of these things kind of help us as we're dealing with this strange Christmas the way that it is. But the first thing we're going to talk about is why he comes, you know, why Jesus comes. Second thing we're going to talk about is what he brings, right? With this Messiah who's come, what does he bring for us? What does he offer to us? So first, why does he come? If you have your Bible with you, you can turn to the passage that was read, Luke 2. If you don't, you can just listen. I'm going to read verses 8 through 14 again. And this is the section where the angels go and they make the announcement to the shepherds this child has been born. So starting in verse 8, it says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Now, just to kind of back up and get you kind of into the flow of what's going on with the story from the beginning of Luke's gospel. Luke's gospel opens up with an announcement. Different couple, but an angel visiting a couple to tell them they're going to have a baby. It's not Joseph and Mary. It actually starts out with Zechariah the priest and Elizabeth. The angel appears and tells them that they're going to have a child, even though Elizabeth is barren. And lo and behold, all of it comes true. Elizabeth gets pregnant. She goes to visit Mary, and the angel appears to Mary. The angel tells Mary that she too, though she's a virgin, she will also conceive and give birth to a child, and he shall be named Jesus. So the announcements have been made. The people have been prepared, and then reality sets in. Rome decides to take a census, which means that Mary and Joseph need to travel back to the land of their ancestors, to Bethlehem. And that fulfills this wonderful prophecy. There in Bethlehem, Mary gives birth to Jesus. And right after this amazing birth, heaven decides that they're going to send birth announcements. And the birth announcements go out first to shepherds. And that's important symbolism. If you think back into the Old Testament, we remember the Exodus story, right? Remember the Israelites living as slaves in Egypt, and God comes to rescue them. God takes Moses, he sends Moses back into Egypt, and he gives him a message. And so Moses goes back, he faces Pharaoh, and through this confrontation, there are plagues, and all of the plagues end in one last plague, which is the death of the firstborn. And if you remember, the Israelites are told that if they want to be spared from this plague, they are to take a sheep or a lamb, and they're to slaughter it and put the blood up on the doorpost. And when the destroyer angel comes, when he sees the blood, he will pass over that house, and the children would be safe. And you see, the reason why that story is important is because essentially, you know, in this birth announcement, the symbolism takes us all the way back to Exodus. You know, we have the first visitors to see this baby being shepherds. Why? Is that, you know, it's not the way you announce a king. If Jesus is the king that he is supposed to be, then the first people to visit the baby are royalty, nobles, important people, not peasants. And in this story, though, we have this king who was born, this one who is going to reign on David's throne, and the first people that come to visit are shepherds. Well, why is that? I mean, a lot of you know why that is. You know that the reason why God calls shepherds is because the child who has been born is the Lamb of God. That this baby who has been born is the one who will one day, just like the lamb that was slaughtered, whose blood was put up on the doorpost that saved the Israelites from experiencing the death of their firstborn. Just like that lamb, you know, Jesus has come to be the Lamb of God, the one who through his blood would take away our sins. And, you know, John the Baptist says it later on. You know, he sees Jesus, and the first thing that blurts out of his mouth is, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And so we see that there's this incredible symbolism in the first things that happen. Jesus is born, the first people to have to come visit, the first people who are supposed to see him are the shepherds, because the Lamb of God has been born. And, you know, that tells us why he comes. In a very basic way, in a very foundational way, Jesus comes to rescue sinners from their sin. And, you know, that means that in a very, very simple way, Christmas is about sin. And that's, I mean, my guess is most of you thought that, you know, I would get to it at some point, talk about sin. Here it is up front. Christmas is about sin. You know, that's uncomfortable. Some people think it's discouraging to bring that up. This is supposed to be a happy time. This is supposed to be celebration. It is. And it is because Christmas is about sin. It's about the seriousness of sin. Christmas is about the fact that sin is so serious, it's so bad, that God himself had to come down to fix it. Now, I don't know what a lot of your childhoods were like. my childhood was chaotic. I had a brother who was 2 years younger than me. I had a sister who was 5 years older than me. My brother and I, because we were the two closest in age, because we were boys, we used to wrestle and fight and play fight a lot. And one of the refrains that I remember hearing from both our parents was, you know, they would hear us roughhousing and they would hear us arguing. And of course they would say, you know, we'd be in the basement doing something, screaming at each other. And of course they would say, don't make me come down there. And, you know, as it got louder and louder, there would be a point where they would say, you know, what it would, they would finally be fed up and they would, we would hear their feet come down the stairs. And that was serious. You know, when feet were coming down the stairs, then we were really in trouble. You know, in a lot of ways, the incarnation is about God saying, you know, saying he needs to come down here. The things are so bad that he needs to come down and make things right. And that's really what Christmas is about. You know, we package it up with gifts and with presents and with trees and with snow and all these other things, but the very bottom of it, Christmas is about sin. It's about how we're broken, how we're hopeless. But it's also about how God sees that brokenness, God sees that hopelessness, and he reaches out in love. That's one of the amazing things about Christianity that no other religion talks about, that no other religion has. No other religion talks about a God who loves his lost people so much that he's willing to come down to be one of them, to fix the problem. And at its very heart, I mean, that's what Christmas is about. It's about sin. It's about brokenness. And it's about God coming down to make things better, to make things whole. And he does it because he loves, because he cares. So that's really the first thing we see. We see why he comes. We see why this child has been born into the world, because we are broken people, because our sin is horrific, because we've rebelled against God, we have raged against God, and we cannot fix that problem. And so Christmas is about the fact that God himself has to come down to heal us and to make us whole. That's the first thing that we see, that Jesus has come as the Lamb to heal us, to make us whole. Second question that I wanted to ask is, you know, when we read this announcement, this baby has come. He has come to deal with our sin, to offer his life as a sacrifice, so that we can be redeemed. Second part we have to ask is, what does he bring? Because in the announcement we see that there's a promise to it. Verse 14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." If you notice, it's very straightforward, tells us exactly what he brings, that with this child who has been born, he is going to bring peace. And, you know, that's, again, very, very straightforward. But it's also really strange, very strange thing to say. The reason why I say it's strange is because Jesus himself says in his ministry, he says that his coming is going to pit brother against brother, family member against family member. It's going to pit people against people. There are going to be wars and battles, that, you know, divisions, all these other things. And in a lot of ways, even when we look at our world today, it doesn't seem like Jesus has brought peace. You know, things don't seem to be markedly more peaceful, markedly better today than when Jesus first came. In a lot of ways, you could make the argument that things are much, much worse. You know, it seems like there's more conflicts, there's more wars, there's more division. The divisions are now kind of national. They're based on race, they're based on ideology. We see that in politics, we see it in society. You know, we see it in all these different places. And it seems like if Jesus really brings peace, and it seems like it's not really working. However Jesus meant it to come, it's not really working. Right? I mean, there's more arguing, there's more anger, there's more violence. It doesn't seem to be working. Well, you know what the angels say is true. You know, that Jesus has come to bring peace. The challenge is this. The birth of Jesus is not the promise of international or political or social or racial peace. Jesus has come to bring us the one kind of peace that truly matters, and that is spiritual peace. And you could say that's the least important kind. You know, we need the other stuff. We need the international peace. We need the political peace. We need the racial harmony. We need the spiritual one. That's the weakest of them. It's actually not. It's actually the strongest. And it's actually the one that we need. You know, you can live in a place where there's no threat of war or conflict, where there are no social divisions, no economic barriers. And even living in a place like that, you'll still feel the brokenness inside of you. You'll still feel the longing, the hurting, the fractures. You'll still feel that there's something deeply wrong with your soul. Even if you lived in a utopia in every other way, you would still feel this separation from God. You would feel that things are not right. And even though there was no wars or conflicts, there would be very little comfort and very little joy. On the other hand, you can live in war-torn cities, in countries that are in the midst of battle or threats of war, with weapons pointed at each other. And if you know Jesus Christ, if you have his peace, then you can live even in the midst of threat of war and conflict with strength, comfort, and even joy. And the reason why you can do that is because you know that your life is in someone else's hands. You know your life is in the hands of the one person who is powerful enough to do what's right and good. You know, you find comfort because you know that the one person who truly matters in this world sees you and knows you and loves you. And those things matter. You know, usually when we're going through difficulties, the temptation is to say, oh, if only the outside stuff was better. If only there was no pandemic, if only there was no political division, if only there were no issues of racism that we constantly kind of butted up against, if only there wasn't such a huge disparity in wealth in our country. And it's a temptation to say, if only these situations were better, then things would be better. Then I could be at peace. Then I could find comfort and strength. Then I could have joy. And the truth is that that's not what produces joy. What you and I need more than any other kind of peace is we need spiritual peace. We need Christ who answers our fears, our worries, our anxieties, our concerns. We need Christ who tells us that because of what he has done for us, the God of the universe looks down on us and loves us. And you know, when you know that you're loved, when you know that you're loved, your living changes. When you know that God loves you, that he sees you, that he does what's good, then even in the worst circumstances, you find strength, you find comfort, and you find joy. And you see, that's the kind of peace that Jesus comes to offer. The promise isn't that when Jesus is born, the nations are going to stop fighting. The promise isn't that when Jesus comes, society is going to heal and bind up where there are no more extreme gaps of wealth. The promise isn't that racial divides will be healed. The promise is that we will be healed, that something will happen to us that will create inside of us a foundation and a comfort and a strength. And you know, that's what we need right now. That's really what we need. And that's what all of us need to remember. we need to remember that there is a God who is bigger than a pandemic. We need to know that there is a God who is greater than the problems that we see in our world right now, with politics, with society, with race, with economics. We need to see that there's something much, much bigger. And, you know, as we continue in worship, you know, the thing that will bring us the most peace is when we realize that even though Jesus was born on a quiet, peaceful evening, even though on the night that he was born, everything seemed to be perfectly harmonious in this part of the world that he was born into, we can find peace in knowing that Jesus' life ended in conflict. You know, when you look at the end of Jesus' life, Jesus went to the cross amid chaos. Remember, he was taken up in the middle of the night after a long session of prayer with his friends, with his closest confidants. And in a whirlwind of activity, he's thrown in front of courts, he's thrown in front of magistrates, he's taken out to be whipped, and then he is given, he's mocked, and he's given a cross that he carries all the way to his death. And what we see at the end of Jesus' life is we see that Jesus' life ended like that, with chaos, with conflict, without true peace. You know, on the cross, Jesus didn't even have a spiritual peace. He looked up to heaven and he said, "Where are you, God? Why have you forsaken me?" And the reason why that's important is because, see, Jesus took on this brokenness, this lack of peace. You know, this feeling that all of us have in us. This God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? Jesus took that on so that through faith in him, we wouldn't have to say that anymore. And if Jesus is your savior, you don't have to say that anymore. You can know that he is always on your side. So as we continue in worship, let's pray and let's remember the peace, not externally, but internally, the peace that Christ comes to bring. Let's pray together. And Father, we want to thank you again that in the midst of all these things that are going on around us, you offer us true peace, a quietude, a solitude away from, Lord, all the things that are happening in the world. And Lord, we're not meant to retreat from the things around us, but we are meant to find our strength in you that buffers us against the things that are going on in this world. And so, Lord, tonight especially, Lord, help us to look to Jesus, to remember that he is the one that offers us a true peace that will last even through the toughest situations, and a peace that will conquer the most difficult problems, and a peace that was born in chaos. Lord, that was formed for us at the cross. And Lord, as we see that, Lord, bring us strength and comfort and joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.